Welcome back. It is part three of the series, Trimming the Lamp. And like I said before the break, we'll be looking at the Elijah of Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And that scripture said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And that prophecy is the reason for John chapter 1. That question that they asked John from verse 19 to 21. It says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?'" Elias here is the prophet, Elijah. "Art thou Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" This same Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, Elijah, is what is referred to in Matthew 17. And if we just read the whole story from verse 1, in the Transfiguration, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," that is Elijah, "talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias.' While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.' And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.' And the disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then say,'" that is where I'm going, they were quoting Malachi 4, 5, and 6. "'Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?' And Jesus answered and said unto them," that prophecy is true. "'Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias," and this is where a lot of confusion goes on, "'Elijah has come already, and they knew him not. But I've done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them.' Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist." So John the Baptist was the Elijah that was also promised. Now we'll understand this shortly for those listening to me for the first time. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus repeated in verse 12 to verse 15. "Now, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear." It's a deep revelation. Now, if John the Baptist, remember, we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if John the Baptist is the Elijah that is to come, it simply means this Elijah promised in Malachi chapter 4, 5, and 6 certainly is not reincarnation. It is the anointing that will come, that God will use upon some man for a purpose. Now, if you look again at that prophecy, there are two things to be done. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. This Elijah that shall come will do two things. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children. One, and the heart of the children to their fathers. These are the two things that Elijah will do. Jesus Christ spoke. He said, Elijah will come and restore all things, future. But Elijah has come already. How did he come? And why did they understand it to be John the Baptist? Because the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, there was a prophecy, verse 15, 16 and 17. For he shall be great, John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, you see the first part of verse 6 of Malachi chapter 4 be fulfilled. To do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. John the Baptist fulfilled the first part of that prophecy in verse 6, turning the heart of the fathers to the children. But there is also the second part of turning the heart of the children to the fathers. Now, that is where you see some confusion among theologians, and also that is where you see confusion in also placement of the ministry of William Branham. And I say this with great sense of responsibility. And when I make this statement, my antagonists and the enemies of my ministry and those who are looking for reason to fight me with the spirit of a king, fight and fight and fight to them that is contending for the truth. To contend for the truth is to bring, you know, better reasoning, scriptural reasoning, and not to abuse people, to insult people. Pastor Moses is Antichrist. You see, he rode on the ministry of William Branham, and after he reached the top, anybody that wants to be successful in ministry will never ride in the ministry of William Branham. I will allow people, come anyhow you like. I have a very big ministry. Remember that the grace that I have is not because I'm in the message. The grace that I have is not because I have in the, because I, the healing, the deliverance will still take, if I have to take place more, if I allow people to come anyhow, and if I preach the general gospel of come anyhow, it doesn't matter. The anointing will flow even higher because Satan will make sure that it's not tampered with. It is more difficult, I'm telling you, to preach what we stand for than anything else. So to say I rode in the ministry of William Branham to be where I am, how? How? Ride on it like that, what happened? Okay, I said this actually, you know, for my followers to understand me better and for my critics. Maybe you have more to say after listening to me now. Nothing in this Bible supports an Elijah for the Gentiles. I said it and it went viral. Let me repeat. Pick this again and take it around. Nothing in this Bible that I see that supports an Elijah for the Gentiles. Nothing like that. But what? Nothing like that. And why are you getting angry because I say so? If there's something there, then show me. Oh, Brother Moses is blind. Is it an offense to be blind? Let me blind myself. Can a blind man have power to open his own eye? So if God open your own eye more than me, then help me now. Why are you abusing me? By abusing me with my eye open. So you people are not even helping me at all. It's of you to come. And I made an invitation that the entire message people, come and meet me. Come and see me. Invite me to come to your place. None of you is inviting me. None of you is honoring my invitation. So, and you see that, it's because you know you have no better argument. No scripture to show it. Now, what you actually say is, what you are interpreting is that scripture, and remember, I preached it too. So don't think that I learned it wrongly from someone. Uh-uh. The Trinitarians will open Bible and show you God in three persons, blessed Trinity. But the day they see that it's not blessed Trinity, it's God in Christ Jesus, blessed unity. Come and see how the Pentecostals, the Trinitarians will be abusing you. You were with us before, you are falling from grace. Because it says something different from, but you were preaching, you wrote a book and the rest. So it is in this present truth. Anyway, this is my understanding I'm sharing with you, and I'm entitled to it. Freedom of speech. And I'm using my platform. I didn't come to your church to preach it. So nothing to threaten. If you don't like, don't listen to me. Just delete now. Delete it from your platform. Or go to another place. But this is what I believe. And many people, millions all over the world, are catching this revelation. So, sounds sarcastic, but it is on spirit I'm addressing. To let you know the effect of what you are doing, it has nothing to do with me. The more you frown, the more I preach the gospel. I owe nobody any apology. If you don't like what I'm preaching, change your channel. It's a freedom. Nobody forces you. But I'm telling you that even some of your members in your church, pastor, they are hearing me and they are finding liberation. So go to them and stop calling me names. It will not bring a better revelation. You're only attracting them more to come and see me, to come and know me. Okay, God bless you. I seem to be digressing. I'm not digressing. I want to hammer something well. Nothing in this Bible and in the agenda of God that has a place for Elijah for the Gentiles. If there is, then let's see the scripture. But certainly it's not Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is strictly for the Jews. Let's read it again. Read it from verse 4. Remember ye, as a prophecy. Prophecy is going forth. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Remember, who is he talking to? He's talking to Jews. They are the ones that Moses went to Mount Horeb and brought the law for them. He said, remember you, specifically you, remember you, the law. So he's talking to Israel. Moses was not sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to the Jews. Now verse 5, then he said, behold, I will send you, the same you he spoke in verse 4. It's the same you he's talking to in verse 5. You, the Israelites, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And from scriptures we see that it's John the Baptist that fulfilled this part. Who are these fathers? They are the religious fathers of that time, pointing them to the grace period that was coming that will be spearheaded by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see him do that, by reason of his ministry. It is in that ministry, preparing the heart, turning the heart to the faith of the fathers, to the faith of the children, that gave him that ministry in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, referred to by the angel, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to do what? to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. That is the ministry. And what was it? Already, the prophet Malachi also prophesied that same ministry in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That is his ministry. He will prepare the way before me. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11 verse 9, Matthew chapter 11 verse 9, made reference to it, where he said, but what went ye out for, to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet, verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. And remember that if you go back to John chapter 1, if you go back to John chapter 1 and verse 20, for verse 21, he says, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He has nothing to say of himself, for search the scripture, in them you have life. They are they that testify of me. His ministry in the Bible, he only pointed to the Bible. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's still preparing the way. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And he was quoting Isaiah 40. Verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Read it up to verse 5. He said, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness. John was telling the whole world, this is my ministry. He said, who said thou of thyself? I'm now saying, I am the voice of him that cried in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the effect of that, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And it came to pass. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low. Everyone should be made plain. When he was preaching, those religious high places, Pharisees, the big the doctors of divinity came, and he said, you generation of vipers, who have taught you to run from the rod that is coming? And he was rebuking them. Rebuke a Jew, rebuke reverend doctor, rebuke high priest, rebuke everybody. Even he rebuked King Herod. It is not lawful for you to take another person's wife, because he collected his brother Philip's wife. It cost him his life, but he made people that they thought they're untouchable, he made them touchable by his ministry. So all this was he preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And the glory of God was revealed through Christ. Through Christ it was revealed. And so here we are. The first part is there for John the Baptist. And take note, the first part there of the Elijah was strictly for Jews. It was not for Gentiles. John the Baptist's ministry was for Jews. Elijah's ministry was for Jews. Elisha's ministry, it was for Jews. John the Baptist's ministry was for Jews. The Elijah that is coming is also for Jews. And remember, Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13 is a principle. It's just the principle. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. He deals with Israel by a prophet. And that was why when they said they wanted a king, they rejected Samuel, they rejected the word of God. They rejected the means by which God ordained to deal with the Jews. And I want you to note that when it comes to the grace age, for us beneficiaries of grace, we only have the major prophet, like of old. I want you to note, under the law, we have one major prophet, Moses. He is the prophet for that covenant under law. But there were other prophets, but they were not in the order of Moses. So also, that same Moses said, another prophet will be raised. That prophet was raised for Israel. Jesus was raised for Israel. That prophet was Israel, was Jesus, and was raised for Israel. And that is why you see in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets in the Old Testament, had in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also he made the world. Now, so the prophet for grace is the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet for law is Moses. And that is why in John chapter 1 verse 17, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. So take note of that. The prophet that God sent to Israel to give them grace was prophet Jesus. It was when they rejected him that he turned to the Gentiles. It's the same prophet. He turned to the Gentiles. But Moses had other prophets under the law. Grace will also have prophets. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets. These are the prophets. They all function like Jeremiah function, Isaiah function, Malachi, Zechariah, and Obadiah, and Ezekiel, and all the rest. All holding on to the law of Moses, guided by the law God gave to them through Moses. So also, the fivefold ministry, no other major prophet other than the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry have the prophets, and they are for the edification of the body. They are for the edification of the body and nothing more. So if anybody, you try to bring in any monumental ministry and try to fix in him and give him a Jewish title, I am saying it will be wrong if he's a Gentile. Because the way God deals with us as Gentiles under grace is different from he dealt with Israel under the law. And Israel's covenant is different from our covenant. Therefore, it will reflect in the offices also. We just take a little break, and then when we come back, we will continue. Shalom.